Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetics. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And I'm Jerry Drinkard, family nurse practitioner. Together, Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa that's located here in Pace, Florida. And we're so excited today. Chris has had the opportunity to meet Stacy before this, but we're joined today by Stacy Fike. She's the founder of Glow Girl and also the creator of the Glow Pro training for tanning salons or self-tanning, right?
Yeah, it's a spray tanning. Spray.
So it's something that we probably all need rather than our traditional tanning beds or exposure outside. So we're happy to have you join us today.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I had the privilege of meeting Stacy at The Block. So we were filming a reality show. Jerry and I actually competed a while back. I don't even know how long ago now, but
probably a year and a half now
on the show. And then I had the opportunity to go back as one of the coaches, and I got to meet Stacy. She was competing in the most recent season that was filmed, season 23. So I can't wait to see that come out and see how you did. She's a really an amazing entrepreneur, business person. So I love supporting other entrepreneurs, especially, you know, we have a lot of strong females in our lives. So we love our female partners, our female entrepreneurs. So thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here. But you've done something that's a little bit, I think, unique. And I think it's interesting how you approached it. There's a lot of people who go and venture into business. And you have a spray tanning business, but you took it a step further and you said, I'm going to open a spray tanning academy so that we can educate other professionals on how to do this properly, how to choose the right solutions, how to make sure that what we're spraying on skin to achieve these tans are safe and they're effective. So I love the fact that you're now training on that. So maybe share with our audience a little about your background, how you got into this industry and why you decided to start training.
Yeah. So I've been in the sunless industry for probably over 22 years now. I always joke and call myself the meme of spray tanning. And when I was beginning, there was no formal training. There was nothing. I mean, still to this day, it's mostly people that are like finding YouTube videos on how to, you know, acquire a craft in spray tanning. So 20 years ago, I was a registered massage therapist, was the lead therapist for Spa Nordstrom here in the Houston and Dallas Gallerias. And one of my roles was to not only train our staff, but also explore different modalities of body services, skin services, and spray tanning 20-something years ago was just kind of hitting the industry. And I was able to have Nordstrom bring on the service, and it took off. I was learning at that point as well, not just how to, you know, hone my own craft, but also discovering that there was a very select clientele in Houston that wanted to be tan, but they didn't want anyone to know that they came to get tans. Those customers started asking me to come to their homes, and that's how I started as kind of my own mobile service. Unbeknownst to me, I had been doing mobile services for a little while and got a write-up in the Houston Chronicle Zest section. And the Zest section is basically what all the socialites are doing in fashion and where they're hanging out, what beauty products they're using. And the store manager at Nordstrom, of course, reads that section. Mind you, that little blip of me and this Glow Girl tanning mobile services was maybe 3 to 5 sentences, but he read it, saw it, and called me into his office. So we kind of went back and forth around about, and I was like, well, Nordstrom's not offering in-home services, so this technically isn't a conflict of interest. I had a great relationship and rapport with Nordstrom, so they kept me on staff, but I wasn't allowed to do spray tans anymore, which was fine. I was still able to, you know, train our new staff on it. Kind of conjunctively at that same time, I was becoming a mom and also becoming a single mom. And kind of phased myself out of Nordstrom and was offering these mobile services, but quickly figured out that the time, the energy, the labor, and what I could charge at the time wasn't going to be enough to sustain me. So I converted a small room into my home and started taking like personal friends, family, clients. And at one point I realized that I had over 700 women come through my house and was like, this is can be a safety issue. And just kind of like started hitting up local salons in the neighborhood if I could like rent a room. I had a glorified closet in the back of a hair salon in our neighborhood and worked out of there for a few years. And got to a point where I started to need help. I needed employees and realizing that there's no formal training out there. Fast forward to today, I now have my own brick and mortar with multiple employees and have been able to back out of the day-to-day operations, but still realize that nobody comes with a foundation or understanding of spray tanning. Sure, they're talented and they're gung-ho, but that technical training is valuable. And that's why I created GloPro.
Excellent. That's super exciting. And I'm sure you had a lot to learn. So you just kind of stumbled into entrepreneurship, it sounds like. So you're working for someone, started kind of doing your own thing on the side, and before you knew it, you had a business.
Right.
Literally, that's kind of what happened with us.
That's the way to grow. I mean, that's a lot of businesses have grown like that. And for goodness sake, there's for sure a need for what you're doing, because we had one, our first file was in Mobile and they offered spray tan service. And then eventually when we moved back to Pensacola, decided to open here, Chris and I decided that we were going to buy spray tan and we were going to incorporate it. So naturally, the first people to get spray tans was I spray tan Chris, as Chris spray tanned me. And you want to talk about a mess.
Oh. A mess, and the colors were off.
Chris decided, I'm sure wine was involved in this at some point.
I wanted him to spray tan abs on me. Of course, anything I can do to not go to the gym, right? Anything.
So he had contoured abs that didn't necessarily fit. It was bad. So that lets me know there truly is an art. It's not as easy. So I've had several spray tans, and you people that do it and do it nicely make it look very easy. But it truly is an art, and to be able to train someone to do that is important.
It's like every spray tan, we take the approach that like the best spray tans out there are kind of like facelifts or aesthetic services. The best ones go unnoticed. I'd rather somebody say to me, I look rested or look fresh, as opposed to like, oh, you look tan, you know?
So how have you seen the demand for your services? Are the demand for sunless tanning in general change over 20 years? Because I would imagine it's very different now than it was 20 years ago.
In the beginning, it was just kind of like a fun little service. But as we've evolved, you know, customers have access to lots of information. They are super skin savvy. They want anti-aging. They still want to look good. They want convenience. They want safe, clean products. It's really the customers that have changed the industry, I think, because they are just more knowledgeable about what they're putting on their skin, putting in their body. And they want, you know, they want an elevated service, but they also want to make sure it's safe and healthy.
Well, I mean, that's interesting. I didn't think of it from that standpoint. And we did talk about that on a podcast earlier today is consumers are more aware now than they ever have been about all the things that they're putting on their body, in their body, things they're wearing. And so we're very concerned with that. I was thinking more from the standpoint of sunless tanning in general. So I know, you know, back in the 90s, I can remember having a tanning bed in the house, and people were doing lots of tanning beds, right? And so, and I can remember, actually even in school, we had one, and I can remember my mom like letting us tan. I'm sure, and no shade there at all. I'm sure we'll get some negative feedback about how can a mom let you tan, but I can remember tanning, go to the prom, tanning to look good for things in high school and my 50s now. And so a long time ago we were doing that. And so as we look over the past few decades, I think there's a lot more awareness of the dangers, not only of UV exposure. So just general UV exposure, walking around out at the beach. And so we, you know, tell all of our patients and educate them on the importance of like daily sunscreen, even if they're not going to the beach. But there's certainly been a lot more awareness about indoor tanning, and so using UV rays. And so I would imagine that as that awareness has increased, there's been a lot more interest in sunless options. So how can we get this nice look, this nice healthy glow without getting the UV exposure? And so I think as important as the ingredients is that people now have really nice options. I mean, I see you now, you look absolutely beautiful. You're glowing. I'm assuming you're a consumer of your own products. And I've spent, you know, a week with you in person and very, very natural looking. I would not think tan at all. And I guess that's kind of what you're going for. Nice, healthy glow without looking. And so it's good that we have those options, because I think also there's still a misperception that sunless tanning people are going to look orange.
That stigma definitely still exists. That's like one of the first questions when somebody new comes to our salon. They're always like, am I going to look orange? And I have to sometimes I want to laugh, but at the same point, you know, that's my opportunity to educate them that the products, the equipment, the processes have come a long way in the past 20 years. Orange just isn't an option anymore.
I wouldn't say it's not an option anymore, because we still see some people who are, right? That's the ones who are doing it at home and not coming to your Glow Pro Academy, because all of a sudden they're trying to do this on their own. So definitely, I would say orange is still an option. It may not be what you train for, but I do think we see it. And
I'm not going to get political, but we do.
Oh, Lord.
As Chris kicks me.
As I kick him under the chair. So tell me then, with your academy, so where are you seeing the demand for this? Is this mostly in day spas? Is this other entrepreneurs? Is this in med spas? So where are people coming to you for your academy to get training on how to do this?
So it's a totally online program. So it's accessible really to anybody, but my niche is mostly beauty professionals. It's another tool that they can add to their wheelhouse to offer another service that complements the things that they're already doing. I feel like, but from my perspective, it's a lot of aesthetic students that are looking to not just branch out on their own, create their own spas, wellness studios, and offering spray tans as an additional service. And because they spend the time and the energy and the resources to get a certification like aesthetics or cosmetology, it's kind of like the next step for them, that added certification that they have a technical understanding of the ingredients. And then our course comes in to help them create a system for not just spray tanning, but I've also found that there's a lot of people in the beauty industry that are artistic, eccentric. They do fabulous work, but from a back end, they don't understand the administrative parts, the insurance, the liabilities, the taxes, the software, all of the administrative supports that we need. So the whole Glow Pro program is designed to take them from the beginning of like the history of spray tanning, the kind of science and chemistry behind it, and then builds them up through all the back end things that they should have in place before they even learn how to do a spray tan. So when they do launch their business, all aspects are covered and they're confident in their craft.
Now, do you help them with like product selection, vendor account, so they understand where to go to get the product? So really they could decide today, I want to start or incorporate spray tanning. If they go to your academy, by the time they finish, they'll understand where to get the products, how to order them, how to set everything up. So it's all inclusive.
So the nice part is, being in the industry for 20 something years, I've built relationships with top vendors when it comes to products and software and equipment. Those vendors were nice enough to offer me promo codes, coupon codes for people that take our course. So right out of the chute, they're getting discounts and linked up with top providers in the industry. So they're not having to fumble around and just order something off of Amazon. They actually have a direct professional industry vendor that's going to guide them and give them those really good, clean, you know, useful products that they need.
You know, what I found when we were on the blocks is that I think almost every person there came with a good idea, some type of good product, whether they were selling a service or a beak kvass or a penis injection like Chris and I or whatever. But I think the thing that so many of us don't have is that business knowledge, which it sounds like you've got. Did you get that? Like, did you have some type of background in that before? Or did you just learn it as you kind of went along?
There was a lot of trial and error. I do kind of use my time at Nordstrom And learning from them their best business practices, their systems, their just the way they handled business in general. And I definitely kind of took a lot of those ideas and implemented them into run my business. But through all of that, there was still plenty of trial and error and a lot of like, oh shit moments.
I think a lot of people kind of go through that. I think I almost did opposite somehow, but I think they go through they start on the front side and they're doing the tan or they're doing the injections or they're doing whatever. And then eventually as the business grows, they go into like the important things, the back things, the numbers, the administration, the business side of it. I'm fortunate that like I started in administration. And then I've eventually gotten to the point where like I almost do all injections and I have Chris and Sierra as the brains that make my patients show up. They are the ones that, you know, do the advertising. And so like I'm still involved, but it's nice to have that combination. And so it's kind of interesting to see how people go from one side of a business to the other, but you truly learn it from top to bottom like that.
Yeah. And I do feel like, like I said, a lot of people in our industry are just that artistic, and they're doing these beautiful services, but don't have that foundation of business. And then they get to a point where it's like, they can't keep up, or it's not building, or it's not progressing. If they can have that foundation, a few of those things in place, I think it gives them more freedom to explore their talents and the craft in general. Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's kind of fun. I love being on the blocks. I love going back as a coach. But some of the things that I've realized over the years through my own business coaching and who we've consumed information from is businesses struggle with the similar problems, right? And so it doesn't matter if you're in the spray tan or the medical aesthetic space, or if you're in the retail space trying to get, sell t-shirts. We all have a product or a solution to a problem, and we have to find ways to get customers to know about that and purchase and consume the product. And so that process looks very similar, although we may be in very different industries. And I think it is, when you start early on, and you've been in it 22 years, we've been doing this almost 20 years, and we made lots and lots of errors along the way. And so I'll say my, early education was very costly, even though I wasn't paying out lots of money to consultants. It was costly because of how much it was costing us, that we were losing revenue, losing money. And if we didn't have other jobs to offset that, we would have been out of business. And so I think it's nice now that you have, programs, you have coaches, we have a lot more readily accessible information to help businesses succeed from an earlier stage. So I love being part of that and participating with that. I want to talk about some crazy fun personal things before we maybe finish up on a serious note. Jerry's like, oh Lord, where is this going?
I literally just had a flashback to our mobile.
Yeah. So I'll let Jerry tell you this story, and then you can tell us some of your crazy client stories, your craziest client experience you can think about. I know for sure, without a doubt, what ours is. I feel confident that Jerry will tell this story. We don't prep any of this before. It's all kind of just our conversation.
It was a trigger because, like, as soon as he said it, like, it was like a trigger word for me when he said it.
So our first venture into this industry of a brick and mortar location, we partnered with an entrepreneur that had a spray tan business. And that's how we got introduced into spray tanning, because most of our clients were coming through her actual spray tanning business. But obviously, there were days where they weren't there, or we had, and then long story with what happened with that. We could do another whole podcast on that whole business venture. However, I know the funniest or craziest tanning story that we have, I'll let Jerry tell it and see if it's the same one.
This is a small spa, probably four or five treatment rooms. Crystal was the spray tan artist that was there. And she would tell the patient, go in, get ready, I'll be right in to help you. So she went, she knocked on the door, no answer. And she gave her a few minutes. So she knocks on the door again, no answer. So she told me, she said she's not answering. And she opened the door, she's not in there. I said, well, maybe she's in the restroom, which was directly beside the tanning room. So knocks on the door, no answer, opens the door. She's not in the restroom. Go in, and she had to go to the restroom, but chose to do it in the trash can in the tanning room and left.
I was probably so embarrassed rather than like facing anybody, like basically shit in the trash can and then left.
You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's probably our craziest spray tanning experience.
You that by far beats anything that I have ever encountered. Oh my God, I would not share that story anymore.
That was 15, 16 years ago.
Yeah, and we still talk about it.
Yeah, it's still, we're like, there was two incidences over at that location.
And they were kind of...
And they were pretty close together. I was injecting a patient's lips. And all the years before and since then...
I sure hope she doesn't watch this because it would just devastate her.
Yeah, but I was injecting a patient's lips and she was laying there and we went to the injection and she kind of clenched up and she pooped all over the table. And
you've
I'm
never
like,
heard this?
I can't believe Sierra's
off, Sierra's off like, camera and she's never heard this.
And I'm literally like, okay, I've never had this happen. So of course she's laying there. But her main concern was she was such a polite patient, like really. And she's like, I'm so sorry I messed up these nice, high-quality sheets that you have on this.
And then he comes and gets me to handle it.
Yeah, I was like, Jerry, can you please? And he's like, what am I going to do with that? I was like, I don't know. Like, we don't even have sheets on the beds now. I mean, they're cheerfully wiped down. But at the time, we were doing a shared space with an esthetician. So all the beds will be made between each one, like a full aesthetic service. And I went in to do it. And she, yeah, I was like, I don't know how we had those two stories that happened really probably within a month of each other. It was pretty, and then again, never.
Shitty situation,
for sure. So tell us, what crazy stories do you have?
I cannot top that by any means. I mean, that is like, I feel like we're trauma bonded on some level now. Like, golly. I mean, I feel like in 20 years, I've had a lot of outrageous things, but that takes the cake.
Yeah, go on and incorporate that into your training. What do you do when someone goes to the bathroom in your garbage can? But now I also can't really blame the client. If I really had to go that bad and I didn't know what to do, I would probably just leave also, right? Because at that point, how do you even face them? I would probably just leave and never go back. Like, I hope to God they don't remember me.
I would have taken the trash can and say, I'm sorry, I'll be right back with you, a trash can. This is just the southerner in me. I was like, I am so sorry.
That, like, in my head, I'm trying to process, like, how would I, like, you know, because ultimately you had to handle the situation. Like, I don't even know how you would handle the situation.
Yeah.
So in our industry, I'm curious about this because I'm sure you encounter it. People get blind to lips, for instance. Like, they want more and they want more and they want more. Does that happen with you as well? Do people want darker and darker?
They do. We do have to educate them a little bit that everybody has their own melanin levels. And there's just so dark you're going to get. I don't care how much product we put on you. But yes, you get those people that, you know, we used to call them tanorexic in the tanning bed days that were in there every day. But it's mostly education. I feel like I've been lucky. Our client base, they really are just looking for something natural, pick me up, just to look fresh and healthy.
So that was a serious part, that one of the more serious questions I wanted to ask, but what is the active ingredient, and to share with our listeners, that you use to develop this tan color?
So to get nerdy, to get scientific, it's called DHA, which is dihydroxyacetone. It is an enzyme found in sugar beets. You can get organic sugar beets, so you can have that aspect of the tanning solution be organic or certified organic. But spray tanning solution in a hole can never be called organic, because in order for something to be called organic, it has to have a certain percentage of different ingredients that are all organic. Well, the composition of tanning solution in general will in my lifetime probably never meet that guideline. So I kind of get frustrated when there's other sunless tanning professionals out there that say, well, ours is organic. It can't technically be labeled that way. Maybe it does have organic ingredients in it, but I think that part is kind of deceiving to people. The way that DHA works on the skin is when you apply DHA to the skin, it oxidizes with your dead skin cells, which creates that browning effect. The easiest way to kind of explain that in layman's terms is It's like rusting the skin. If you think about, like, if you leave a metal, a bicycle out in the rain and the elements, those elements will oxidize it. But that also makes the item more vulnerable to free radicals. So when somebody has a spray tan, because they have oxidized their dead skin cells, they are more vulnerable to sun damage and just free radicals in general, which makes it even more important that you are educating, encouraging them to consistently be applying their SPF.
Yeah, I don't even know that I realized that. I knew the DHA and kind of how it oxidizes, but I never processed or actually never thought through being more sensitive to environmental damage and the importance of the daily sunscreen. So I think that's a really, really important concept, because I believe a lot of people would think because I'm tan that I can go out and it's almost like a level of protection, like a base tan, if you will, but really you're not. You're going to be more sensitive. That's a really good point. So thanks for sharing that. Now with the DHA, do you control the concentration of that, the application time, the duration? So how do you control the level of darkness, or how do you avoid that orange appearance? Because DHA has been what's used for many years that did create that orange look.
Absolutely. DHA can come in a percent concentration. It can be as little as like 6% all the way up to like 20 something percent for like bodybuilders, which is a totally different tan. You know, that in general is just a different tan. But based on the percentage of DHA in the product and the amount of time that they spend kind of leaving the tan on to activate, as well as how much saturation, how much you're applying to the skin. So there's those three aspects that go into the desired result or what you're going to get when it comes to your spray tan. All of those have to be taken into consideration, especially with their initial skin tone. Like, what can they tolerate or still look natural when applying their tan?
So if it's interacting and oxidizing the dead skin cells, are you going to get less of an effect if you do a heavy exfoliation prior to your spray tan?
I mean, you definitely want to remove as many dead skin cells as possible. Your skin's constantly rejuvenating. But if we can get rid of a couple of those top layers of dead skin cells, that allows the product to absorb deeper, which is going to help it last longer and fade a little bit nicer. I will say as well, like, we get them when we were talking about like people thinking they already look tan so they can be out in the sun. A lot of times I'll hear clients, they'll come back and be like, oh, well, when I have a spray tan, I don't feel like I need as much SPF because I tan easier, or I get darker quicker. And I like try to educate them that, like, no, you're not. What's happening is your skin is more vulnerable. So yes, it's getting darker quicker. Yes, it's getting tan. But that still means you need to be wearing an SPF.
I can tell you, again, back in the day, I love a tan. I love to be dark. It is like, I don't think my teeth can be too white, and I don't think my skin can be too dark. Like, those two things I love. And Jerry, he would see me when we first met, and he would say, I never know what color you're going to step off the plane, because I would be like a mocha color sometimes. But I loved a dark spray tan, and we would do something called, at that point, I think they called it a double bake. And so you would do a spray tan, and then I would get in the tanning bed and bake the tanning on. And so you would do it right back to back. So they sprayed you immediately. You got in the tanning bed, and I don't know, it was a long time. There was no way to block out. Like now in Florida, you can't do it more than once in 24 hours. They have limits. Back then I could go 2 or 3 times a day if I wanted to. So there was no limit on that. So I would get super dark, and, I mean, maybe we can find some old photos and we'll put and tag them on this podcast for people to look at on YouTube, and they can see how dark I used to get.
I'll never forget, I got to Chicago. Chris lived in Chicago when we first started dating. I lived in Mobile, and I was coming down the escalator at the airport in Chicago, and he was at the base of the escalator, and I have never seen a white man that color in my life. He had on a long coat. I don't know why I remember this so vividly, but he was dark.
Yeah, probably like the bodybuilder spray tan. That's what I would like. That, and I'm not a bodybuilder.
Probably what he had gotten.
Yeah, probably that. So I loved it, but now, switching gears some, obviously I realize the damage and the risk associated with indoor tanning. I am fortunate. This is pretty much my natural skin color now. I think I use like a little bit of a glow. It's called Glotion. It basically is a little bit of a tan that I put on my face, but it's a daily thing. It's not like a self tanner. It's like a bronzing lotion of some sort. But I have a darker skin tone naturally. And if I am in the sun, even for a small amount of time, I tan very easily. And so that part, I am fortunate. I don't do indoor tanning anymore because of all the risk associated with it. But one of the things I love was the way that that made me feel. And so there's still patients who will tell me, or clients that, that come in here, and they'll say, it feels so good when I actually tan. And so I found it interesting. We just started talking about this at the beginning of the podcast, and I wanted to save it and talk more on here. But you've incorporated red light therapy. And so are you doing red light beds, or are you just doing like limited areas like face or small red light areas?
So based on the space that we had available, the red light bed wasn't going to be the right fit. So we actually have the big panels, the medical grade panels. So there, it's a room that they go in with all of the red light panels. We have them do that before their spray tan service. Just to enhance the tan, it increases hydration in the skin, which is definitely good for spray tanning services. Hydration is paramount.
They get in the red light first or after the spray tan?
They're doing the red light first.
Red light first and then spray tan.
Correct.
Yeah. Because I was wondering if it had a similar concept to this double bake, if it somehow like bakes or dries the solution on to make it more effective.
The only thing, like I explored both ways. The only thing is, and they could technically do either or, do your red light first or last. The only thing is the red light, not that it gets hot like a tanning bed does where you used to lay in there and sweat most of the time. It does get warm and cozy. Not sweaty, but definitely warm. And for those clients that run a little hot, having them do the red light first, because you can't sweat that tan off after it's applied. So we've opted to do, especially here in Houston, we've opted to do the red light first.
I wonder now that you think about it, I wonder how, like, I didn't get
thought about that when you were saying it.
Yeah, because I mean, it was a common thing. They called it, they marketed and advertised double bake, and that they had people doing that. But I don't know how you didn't sweat it. It never looks streaky. Yeah, anyway. We do red light therapy here as well, but ours is more local. So we're not doing like a whole bed or a whole room. So we have one that's for the face. We have one, for the hair, but we're doing localized because there really is quite a bit of science out there to show that red light has many benefits for anti-aging, collagen production, wound healing. And so quite a few things that people will benefit from with red light therapy. So we're using it in the med spa space for kind of a different reason. But I guess similar reasons, but our clientele may look a bit different, right? They're still all coming to us for aesthetic purposes, but it's interesting that you can use it to enhance spray tan results.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Scar reduction. And we've even have clients that aren't even coming in to do tans with us. They're just coming in to do red light therapy. Like we have one that is trying to treat hormonal imbalances. One that's trying to treat, her doctor actually recommended that she come do it for restless leg syndrome. Like we're seeing a spectrum of ailments and issues that people are coming in for that benefit from red light therapy.
And so this is, you're doing panels on a wall. So it's whole body. So they take off their clothes and stand in this room, kind of like an old stand-up tanning bed.
It's very similar, yes.
Very similar. And so they stand there and it's around them. Okay. Very interesting. Well, thank you so much. Any final thoughts that you want to leave our guests with today?
Don't share that story about the...
Never say that again.
Never say that again. Watch that story. They'll clip
it
out.
Select company, I guess. I don't know.
No, that story, like I guarantee you they'll share that clip and that'll probably get more views to the social, to the podcast than anything else that we've said. You put something like that enough, and then they will go and listen to the whole podcast. Stacy, thank you so much for being on. Sierra will be with you, be in touch with you before it's released. So we'll tag your training academy. We'll tag your business there. You put your website and all that on there. So as it comes out, we'll promote you.
Thank you, gentlemen. This was fun.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Beauty and the Brain. We look forward to seeing you next week.
We'll see you soon.